We're joined by Justin Benavidez. He's an assistant professor of management economics for District 1, Department of Agriculture Economics, Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Services, each and every day right here on KGNC at the bottom of the hour starting at 8:30. We read the commodities and the stock report, everything from live cattle to the price of natural gas to oil, cotton, those things that are very important. Justin, thank you for taking time in to help us out, get a better understanding of the commodities and how they affect us.
Sure thing. Happy to be here.
Well, Justin, first off, the cost for everybody has gone up. The cost of fuel, the cost of products, but we're also seeing a scarcity. We're seeing actually empty shelves on storefronts and that sort of thing because they can't get the product. For the producers who raise our corn, who raise our wheat, who raise our soybeans, their cost to run a day-to-day option has gone up with the cost of fuel, the cost of infrastructure items like steel and other things that they need to do their day every day. Have those costs, and will those costs be transferred to the consumer down the road?
You know, it takes a little while for those after effects to be felt in the consumer markets, but we've already seen this year a significant increase in the price of food. So food inflation is up over the rest of the economy by 2 or 3%. And most of that is being driven right now by increases in the price of beef, pork, and chicken. But some of those other goods you were talking about, corn, wheat, that go into some food products for people directly to grain products and not livestock, those are up as well. So yeah, we expect to see some continued increase in prices, and we've already seen some of that inflationary pressure in food costs this year.
So I guess in matter of fact, sounds to me like what you're saying, that the law of supply and demand is just about hit the perfect storm then.
Yes, sir. We were at a point where people are beginning to reopen different parts of the economy. And that's creating a little bit of increase in spending capacity for consumers. They want more, but we're also going through those pressures of restarting. And so just like you see all these issues with not having enough chips for car manufacturers and other raw materials, we're struggling with that in the ag sector as well, because we've got all these different supply chains that are having to restart. And so while we've got increased demand as spending increases, we've also got a shortage in supply because of those backlogs in supply chains.
Now, we read the markets here every bottom of the hour here at KGNC, so we kind of have a different perspective on it. We see those massive swings from day to day, even sometimes from hour to hour, where the price for corn, wheat, soybeans, those type products jump exorbitantly, and then sometimes they go extremely low, some huge swings in that. What does that mean to the consumer? Is that something I, as just a person who goes to work every day, doesn't really work in the ag field, should I pay attention to those swings in the market? And what causes those, and what does it mean in the bottom line?
Sure. So there's a lot to hit in that, but I'll say, you know, you're talking about intraday swings. So from when the market opens on a day to when the market closes at the end of the day, I don't think those movements are as important for a consumer to pay attention to, right? Because we've got in a given day, the financial markets are doing a million different things, and you may have some massive export report that suddenly shifts perception of supply for a bunch of hedge fund managers, and they'll dip in and buy some corn, or they'll dip in and buy some soybeans. And the next day, that revision or that report may be revised. We have these regular reports in we'll have the WASDE tomorrow. Those have a huge impact on prices within a given day. But long term, what drives the overall price of any commodity is supply and demand. And so we'll see a trend, and I think it is valid for a consumer to watch what's happening over time, you know, maybe over 2 or 3 weeks or a month. But in general, swings within a day are capped, for one thing, by the exchanges these commodities are traded on. But also, even without a cap, they're not going to swing all that much, because it's based on a bunch of different things that are happening in the market that aren't really giant changes to supply or giant changes to demand.
Would you go into this for me? Could you just name, first off, I'm from Philly. I always thought cotton grew up to be shirts and sweaters and stuff like that. The first time I saw a cotton bowl, I was in my 30s. I didn't know what the heck, you know. What are some of the factors that could affect, other than maybe somebody dipping from taking something from over here to put it into this here? Can you give me another one of those factors that could affect a commodity's price?
Sure thing. So what we watch in general are, you know, who's growing cotton? So how much do we have? Or we'll just, you know, stick with that cotton example. We know at the beginning of the season about how many acres we've planted. So once that acreage report rolls in, we know for the rest of the season kind of what the total amount that we can possibly have is. We know historically about what yields are, and yields can fluctuate quite a bit. We've seen this big drought in the West. So on the supply side, at the beginning of the season, we've got a good picture of what supply is going to be. Then on the demand side, people buying cotton, what we watch are different uses. So you think about textiles are generally what we use cotton for. And so we use it domestically. Very little raw cotton is actually processed here in the United States. We export most of that cotton. And so that'll go to places like Vietnam and China and India, where it's spun, woven into fibers, and then made into shirts, things like what you were talking about. And that's shipped back to us. So we watch export demand a lot in cotton. We also watch what's happening in other countries. So, for instance, India's monsoon season this year was not timed appropriately for their cotton crop, or you could think about it, their cotton crop wasn't timed appropriately for the monsoon. And so they didn't produce as much. And so we watch international production because we're not the only farming country in the world. But then on grains, we watch things like how many animals are there in the market. So how many cattle are we feeding, and therefore how much corn and sorghum and wheat do we need? Ethanol for corn, you know, how much ethanol is being produced, and therefore how much corn do we need for ethanol? And that goes all the way down to, you know, gasoline supply. How much gas do we need, and therefore how much ethanol do we need? So you watch production on one side, and you watch all the different uses for these commodities to give us a picture of how much we need, how much we have, and therefore about what we can expect prices to be. And you can look at what's left over at the end of the year as a good measure of where prices are headed. If we've got a lot left over at the end of the year, or expected to have a lot, prices will be lower. Mm-hmm. If we're going to be short on ending stocks, prices will be higher.
Now, Justin, when we look at some things, especially on the legislative side of agriculture, the infrastructure bill has taken up a lot of the air in a room here lately. Billions, trillions of dollars are set aside for different things, from everything from disaster relief for farmers to the subsidies that they receive for growing or not growing a crop. One, also, broadband plays a big role. Some of these things have been placed in the infrastructure bill. How will they affect our producers and associations around here, where it stands now, where the bill stands? Is there going to be money for broadband access for rural areas? Are we going to make sure that our farmers are protected with disaster relief moving forward?
You know, I can't speak to what's going to wind up being in the final bill. I'm not as plugged in with what's going on day to day on Capitol Hill. We expect movement on both of those things you discussed, but I can speak to the importance of those. You know, before we, you know, hopped on the air, we were talking about how important broadband is, not just to us having discussions and posting things on Facebook now, but with all of these really advanced digital implements that are continuously growing as part of the farm production economy. We need access to reliable wireless internet. That way, agriculture can be more efficient and be more proficient in the use of its inputs. You know, our input prices, as you said at the beginning, are very high. And so every ounce of nitrogen fertilizer we can save, every ounce of fuel we can save, every, you know, one round less in the tractor is going to save us money. And some of that's going to be given to us by precision application of inputs. And that's very important. And so we need reliable broadband access in rural areas in order to be able to further use those implements better. And disaster relief, again, is, like you said, going to be very important. We've kind of had an ad hoc system of disaster relief historically, you know, COVID payments, all that kind of stuff. CFAP in particular, and then some drought payments. And but we're beginning to solidify some of those programs a bit more with programs like wildfire, hurricane, and indemnity program, and some forage protections for livestock. But we need a more stable disaster relief program so that we can predict what the government's going to need to spend on these kinds of programs, and so that there's a guarantee for producers. They're not having to wonder and have their fingers crossed for support from the federal government when there is a natural disaster.
You know, I think you hit it right on the head, but I don't know how many listeners really think about this. This is not the farming community of 20 years ago, let's say. It's just about impossible to run a profitable farming operation without broadband and without internet. I mean, let's face it, you can even, what, find the location of your tractor if it's out in the middle of a field. I can honestly say, I can honestly see it, and that is very important, and it has to be put into the context of a necessity as far as the, you know, your family farmer, if you will. But the thing about it is, I wonder this, how much more can technology save us and save the family farm? I mean, the sky is the limit or what?
Man, that's a great question. If I had the answer to that, I'd be making a lot more money than I am now.
But, wouldn't be sitting there this morning.
Yeah, you know, the possibilities really are still wide open. I mean, the research that people like universities and extension systems are conducting, it's just leaving the door wide open for improvements. You know, we're looking at autonomous vehicles in field work. We're looking at drone works that are able to go out and count cattle in a feedlot, that are able to take heat maps to see if there's any elevated temperatures in livestock, that so you can better identify animals that need care. Right. We are at the beginning of all of that digital application of data in agriculture, and we're at the beginning of collection of big data. And the more people that are hooked up to broadband and Wi-Fi and are contributing to the big data system that is, you know, we're in the foundational stages of it in agriculture, the more refined those technologies are going to become. And really, so to answer your question, I don't know where the limit is, because we are so far from the limit. We can't right. see it yet.
Wow. Wow. Justin, once again, thank you for taking time out of your busy day to sit and talk with us about this. A lot of people don't realize, even though you don't work on a farm or you don't feel like you're directed, affected by a rancher or producer directly, it has a huge impact on our local economy and mm-hmm. really weighs in from day to day.
Absolutely.
All right. Justin Benavidez, Assistant Professor of Management Economy, Department of Ag with the Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Office. You can hear this full interview bright and early tomorrow morning right here on the KGNC Golden Spread Agribusiness News Hour. Once again, Justin, thank you for all the help you do to give us accurate and important information here at KGNC.
Thank you all again.